Hello, hello, Odafest podcast listeners. I am dismayed to tell you that our regularly scheduled Jay has been thrown in a Jacinerator. We may have a brand new shipment of Jay next week, but for now, it's Nancy and me.
I was afraid you were going to tell me that the Jay shipment actually fell off the rails of the CP Rail shipment it was on.
I actually think it got hit by a 15% tariff.
No.
But I'm told the tariffs were illegal. So I don't know what's going on now.
Well, hopefully we get our regularly scheduled shipment of Jay next week.
Next week.
Next week. But
and
this
next
week,
is a brand new year, isn't it?
It sure is.
In fact, I believe right now is a brand new year, isn't it?
It is, because according to the lunisolar calendar, it is a new year. So I know that Koreans celebrate it, Vietnamese celebrate it, Chinese celebrate it. They all have their own respective traditions, foods, and different names. But calling it the lunisolar new year is kind of a mouthful. So I've kind of just defaulted to calling it Chinese New Year again, because it just, it's, that is what I'm celebrating, right? I'm celebrating with my family.
I thought you were making fun of it at first by saying Lunar Solar New Year.
No, it's a thing. So we may not have covered this year, but
I thought it was called like Lunar New Year. And so you saying Lunar, I'm like, excuse me, you're allowed to say that, I suppose. I don't know if I'm allowed to call it loony.
It's loony solar. So the calendar that Chinese New Year follows is actually a solar new year because it's adjusted for the seasons on a lunar calendar.
Interesting. Okay.
I will tell you right now that every few years, we get a random extra 13th month added in to adjust for the seasons, which is why it's lunisolar. So it's a lunar calendar that gets augmented to stay in sync with the solar calendar's seasons. That's why it always stays somewhere in January, February, whereas Ramadan, for example, is a proper lunar calendar, and that's why it drifts over time as to when it occurs in the year.
Yeah, all right. I actually didn't know that.
I taught Angelo a thing!
No, that is absolutely 100% new information to me.
Well, that's a thing. So calling it Lunar New Year is also kind of a weird one. Apparently, that has roots in attempting to remove the original ethnic influence of the holiday and the origination of the holiday originally. But obviously, it was used most recently to just be able to inclusively refer to all of the different cultures that celebrate this holiday together. So I get it. It's not like a bad word or anything. It's not like a bad phrase, and I'm not offended, but technically it's not accurate.
Valid. No, I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Nice. And for Lunar Solar New Year, we poisoned you.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. So,
in case
you forgot, Angelo and I have a pseudo-regular D&D night. It's been on hiatus for a while because lots of holidays have come up, plus lots of sicknesses have been going rampant all throughout Calgary.
Dio and I had the plague.
You sure did, and it put you out of commission for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, no blame, just life happens. So we were scheduled to resume throughout that first week of the new year. And so in case you didn't know, at least in Chinese New Year, the first 7 days are various different holidays. So the first year is New Year, obviously. The second day is when you go and you open the new year with your family. There's lots of really big celebrations. On the third day, it's this celebration. On the fourth day, it's this celebration. I think on like the fifth day, it's like you celebrate
five
things that
rings
will bring wealth. And
wait,
things.
Actually.
Yes. On the fifth day, you do things to bring wealth
here,
in.
And it kind of fits.
And yeah, that was funny. I can't remember what the sixth day is, but the seventh day is technically like everyone's birthday. So today, which is the day that we're recording it, it is the seventh day of the calendar. I basically said happy birthday to all of my family because it's everyone's birthday today.
Ah. Oh, wait. I knew that Korea does this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew that Korea did that, where their old system was that everybody's birthday was on the same day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize, did China and other countries do that as well?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's relatively recent that celebrating your actual date of birth as a personal celebration became a thing. Like, it's a very Western thing to do.
Yeah.
So, like, I think in Asian cultures, it's considered just like a group celebration of having gone through another year of life together.
All right. Okay, I can get that. I can understand that.
So happy birthday, y'all, to everyone and to one and to all.
Hell yeah.
And so anyway, on the fifth day of the new year, I got poisoned.
We sure did get you some good old-fashioned poison. We went to a wonderful restaurant for a succulent Chinese meal, and Nancy decided that I should order.
I did, and you did a really good job.
This is a really white person thing to say. Whenever you go to like a Chinese or any kind of Asian restaurant and you have Asians in the group, it is almost always an expectation foisted upon them that they do the ordering.
But I believed.
So I was like, you know, I have been voluntold. I will do it.
But you know what? I believed. I had faith in you. I knew that you could do it. And it wasn't really that much of a burden, I don't think, because we had an actual picture menu and you could just point to things.
Yes. And so we were pointing through, and it was very funny because I was obviously speaking the English names. I don't think our waitress actually understood the English names.
No.
Nope. So it really was the picture that it was coming down to.
Yeah, and, you know, for the most part, we didn't, like, misorder anything. They didn't, like, misunderstand or send us something that, you know, we didn't order. So it was fine.
And there was one dish that you pointed out in particular that you weren't sure if it would have bell peppers or not. So we did ask about that one.
Yep.
The one that we didn't ask about was the seriously spicy mapo tofu.
A perennially enjoyed dish. Perennially enjoyed by all of us.
I was actually a little bit baited because to my understanding, you'd been to that restaurant before and you requested the mapo tofu by name. So I just expected it to be safe.
I mean, previous times it was safe.
And then we get the mapo tofu. I take a big bite. It is delicious. It is the perfect amount of spicy. It could have been spicier, but I was very happy with the spiciness level. And I look at it and I see this big chunk of red pepper in there. And I'm like, hold up. Is this a bell pepper or is this something else? And so I took just the bell pepper, just the pepper.
Everyone put on their Sherlock hats and like pulled out magnifying glasses and was like, is bell pepper or not bell pepper? Because there's a large variety.
Now, I ate the piece of pepper and it legitimately tasted spicier than the rest of the mapo.
Fair. And bell peppers do tend to absorb the flavors of all the things they cook in.
Like, I thought, I was like, okay, maybe this is safe. Maybe this is just a piece of a chili and not a bell pepper, but...
But then you picked up a chunk that clearly looked to me like it was a bell pepper butt.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh no, that is a very slim chance that that's just a misshapen hot pepper. That's probably a bell pepper. You know what? I just finished what was in my bowl and just said, yeah, I will throw the dice to the fates and see what happens. And like clockwork, right at the very end of the meal, I was like, nope, no, I need to go now. I need to go home and curl into a ball on the couch and just be sad.
I think our D&D campaign is legitimately cursed. The dark god Orcus has really come for our souls.
I think we did
too much sacrilege in his temple, and now we're paying for it.
Hey, we weren't the ones who were going around destroying the statues originally.
Originally, but we did engage in the statue destroying. If you look back at what happened to the people who were destroying the statues beforehand, they got their asses kicked. We did the ass kicking, but they still got their asses kicked.
And we looted their bodies.
Oh, yeah. Loot that body. Loot that body.
Loot that body.
Loot that body. Loot the motherfucker.
But, okay. We got to such an innocuous stopping point in our campaign. So I'm not super sure why it feels cursed. Like, resuming has been so cursed for the last 3 months. But it really has been. Like, every week, it was either someone is sick, either it's like mental health or like physical bodily health, doesn't matter. But sometimes you just need time to recover, and that is totally fair. Also, if you are bodily sick, you probably don't want to get your friends sick too.
And that's the thing, like, was our last night in December?
No, I think it was in November.
November?
I think so.
Since then, there have been multiple weekends where we just have life that is getting in the way. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
There have been at least 4 different weekends where somebody is sick.
Yep. And twice for you. You got sick twice.
Yeah,
within
a
short span.
I got sick once in early December, and I got sick again in,
January.
Believe it was late January.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I got food poisoning. Not food poisoning in the traditional sense. More like allergy poisoning, I guess. Again.
Other than
at
that,
at this point,
it really was a fantastic meal. It was so good.
At this point, Angelo has had enough experience with Nancy's encounters with bell peppers that he kind of knows what to look for. If Nancy starts getting really pale and or feverish, those are usually bad signs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my lord. Now, quite frankly for me, one meal wasn't enough.
No.
And, dear listener, you may not know this. I am very pasty and white. I am very clearly not Chinese. So for me to have 2 Chinese New Year dinners in 1 year feels great.
Feels good.
Yeah. So
it's
I had another
good
meal
amount
last night, and it was absolutely succulent. Some wonderful friends. Unfortunately, Nancy couldn't be there. We had a wonderful braised duck. But no, there was a lot more bell peppers. In fact, we had mapo tofu again. This one was at a different restaurant and it wasn't as spicy. It was white people spicy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Very mild.
But it was delicious, and it definitely had bell peppers in it. So Nancy dodged a very bullet-shaped bell pepper.
So these 2 dinners were separated by 1 day. So 1 dinner happened, skip a day, and then another dinner happened. And so I got sick on the first dinner. I missed the second dinner, much to my chagrin. But you know what? I had other things to do anyway. In the day in the middle where I was supposed to be recovering, I was A, doing laundry at home, B, feeling sick and sorry for myself, and C, doing my taxes and adulting.
Oh, my lord.
Oh.
You know so that you're allowed to take a day off every now and then.
Yeah, not until this project delivers, because I did my timesheets for the last couple of weeks. I have put in a lot of overtime in the last 2 weeks.
Oh my god. This is what happens when you deal with your stress by finding another job.
Look, if one of these jobs was fulfilling enough, I wouldn't need all the other ones.
Oh,
Angelo is
feeling.
Imagining me rolling around with like soft plushies, and each of them is a job, and it's like, I need to collect more. Soft plushies are so nice.
What I'm actually thinking of, there is an anime called The World God Only Knows.
Hmm.
And this is about a gamer. So you know it's going in a place where you don't want to be. But specifically, this is the best gamer in the world. And there is a scene, a scene that is played multiple times throughout every season, where our boy finally completes his task at hand. And he gets to go home and play video games. And you know what he has for his gaming setup? He's got a drum thrown in the middle of it. He's got a bunch of racks with controllers in all 360 directions of him.
What?
And they just play an animation of him, like, doing a goddamn after images, playing 10 different game consoles all at the same time.
Yike.
It is impressive. It is insane. It is something you would only ever see in anime. And this is what I just imagine Nancy does for their job.
I mean,
you have,
look,
like, three different workstations.
I do.
And then, like, two different microphones.
Yes.
And you're just swapping between every single one every fifth of a second.
So, this weekend, I both taught and submitted auditions and did production audio work.
Yeah.
So I did all of my jobs except for the one that I do during business hours.
Oh, my. Thank
Plus,
God
I
you
did
didn't
my
have
taxes.
To do that one at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I probably should have because it's performance review season and you know how it be.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yep. But you know what? I did a lot of work this weekend and none of it feels like it was bad work. All of that stuff feels fine. I'm just busy,
so legitimately,
and I wish I had
work,
time to spend with my friends.
Yeah, the work lets you get over the bell pepper stress.
Sort of. I think my tummy is finally recovered from that day, though. So, thank goodness.
It's 3 days later. It's 3 days later. Oh, no.
But I do need to really make sure I don't put it through relapse too quickly. Like, I do need to give it time to recover. So, no eating out for a little bit, just in case a little bit of bell pepper sneaks into something, or like paprika.
Yeah. Ooh, take it easy. I hope you got an absolutely massive tax return. Take
Here's
everything
hoping.
Left that the government has.
Here's hoping. Fingers crossed.
You deserve
but,
it more than they do.
It's funny because on Saturday, Sean decided he was going to have a Magic the Gathering day. And he was like, you know, you're welcome to come. And I'm like, I know I'm welcome. I just have a lot of things I got to do. But also, knowing you, if you're having dinner, it's going to be a pizza. And I can't gamble on pizza marinara. Marinara sauce is a recipe that's different from chef to chef, pizza place to pizza place. You never know if someone put in paprika or bell peppers or both. You will never
both
know.
Both is normally good.
And most people who are putting the pizzas together may not even know what goes in the sauce.
Yeah,
so
for real.
Even if I ask, they will not be able to tell me.
Frequently, the person putting the pizza together is not the person that prepared the sauce.
Correct.
Yes.
But you know who does do a lot of pizza prep?
Oh.
A guy I know named Angelo, who definitely makes his own pizzas.
I haven't really had the opportunity to make myself a homemade pizza in a long time. It was something like 8 months ago, after having a wonderful meal the previous night. I was bringing my pizza stone out of the oven in the morning because you got to let it cool down slowly. You don't want to thermal shock it. Otherwise, what happens is when you pull it out, it shatters in your hands.
Yeah, no one wants that.
So I was pulling it out the day after and it shattered in my hands. It just fell into four different pieces. And I was like, what bullshit is this? This pizza stone just decided it's pizza stoned. What happened?
Okay, I want to know. Did it just fall apart into pieces the second you picked it up off of the rack inside the oven? Or did it fall apart as you were holding the whole stone and supporting its whole weight?
This is what's funny about it. It was like something out of goddamn Looney Tunes.
Oh, no.
I pulled it out of the oven. I closed the oven. I was holding it up. And then two parts of it just fall off of the main stone, leaving me with about a third of it in my hand. And I'm just like, what just happened? Where's the rest of my stone? There was a stone in my hand.
Did it damage anything when it fell apart?
No, it just fell on the floor.
Well, the floor counts if you've got, like, hardwood or something.
It's already scratched. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I was... It really just damaged my mood more than anything.
More than anything.
Because, okay, here's the thing. I'm fairly confident in my ability to combine ingredients into a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But my mechanical skills for getting the pizza off of the counter and onto the stone in the oven with this mm-hmm. big pizza peel,
mm-hmm.
I'm not that good at it. So I had actually been practicing. That specific week, what I'd been doing almost every week, I had had small bits of dough fermenting in the fridge. And I'd just be making little garlic breads or little cheesy breads. You know, the kind you might get at like Domino's or something?
Mm.
Just so I can actually practice the mechanical motion of using the pizza peel. And I was so good at this that legitimately the night before, I had actually made a good pizza. I got on the stone. Nothing like got rumpled over or wrinkled or fell off the end of the stone. It went just good. It just went good. And
nice.
So I was feeling really good of myself. I was like, yeah, I am the pizza master. And then the next day, my stone just falls apart in my hand. And I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, you got too good. It couldn't bear the thought.
And so today, I finally got over my trauma. That's really what it is. I got over my trauma. And I bought myself a new pizza stone.
From where?
They're in the baking aisle of Co-op. They're $20.
Oh, wow. That's a lot less expensive than I thought it would be.
Oh, yeah. They're not expensive. You can get expensive ones, but they're cheap.
Hmm. Neat. I'm just a pleb who uses a pizza pan.
Fair. Those are much easier, not gonna lie.
They have a lip. It's actually very nice when you're shaping dough on it and you want to make sure that it doesn't just, like, flop over the ends.
Now, you might think that because I am an Angelo, a name of Italian descent, just like my family, that I might do my Italian ancestors proud. Maybe I'd make, like, a nice margarita. Maybe I'd make something with some nice fresh mozzarella or some good basil. Maybe a balsamic dressing if I'm feeling really fancy. No.
Yummy.
No.
No?
I was talking to a friend of mine, and something they said really inspired me. So, the first thing you have to know, this friend lives in Sweden.
Okay.
Sweden does not respect pizza like the way that the rest of the world respects pizza. Sweden will do weird shit to pizza.
Okay. Tell me more.
And so they were telling me about a chili cheese pizza.
Oh.
Yeah, they were having a chili cheese pizza that night. And you know what I thought that meant? I thought it meant, like, a pizza with, like, maybe chili as the sauce and some cheese on top. And you know what? Quite frankly, that sounds amazing to me.
They meant chili as in the kind of chili with ground beef in it, didn't they?
No. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh. That's exactly what I thought it was.
Chili cheese in Sweden is a type of cheese with chilies inside of it. So it's like a spicy cheese.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm thinking about chili cheese as in chili and cheese.
Like a chili dog.
And that's the other thing. A chili dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a chili dog pizza.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How is that even... Is that even going to hold together? I feel like chili is too wet for it.
Oh, I am going to reduce the chili a little bit.
Oh.
I'm going to just cook it for like maybe 10, 20 minutes, get some of the water evaporated off so it thickens up a little bit. That won't be a problem. Get some shredded mozz on top of that. And then I'm just going to take some hot dogs, cut on a diagonal bias, pop those on top.
And then bake it.
I think it's going to go amazing.
I wish you the very best and I demand photos or taste testing. Depending on the presence of bell peppers.
I'm using canned chili and I guarantee you it has bell pepper in it.
K. God dang it.
The only way to do this without a bell pepper risk is to make your own chili.
That's not that hard to do. You just need beans.
And I'm not going to lie. If I'm making my own chili, if I am going out of my way to make my own chili, I am eating it as chili, because canned chili isn't, like, special.
Not that great. No.
It's fine. I think it's delicious.
It's fine.
But it is a commodity. You can do anything. A good chili, a good stovetop chili, you are simmering that for hours.
Correct.
Yes.
And or putting it in, like, a slow cooker for 8 hours.
Exactly. I'm enjoying that as the wonderful meal that it is. Good chili really sticks to your ribs. I don't need to turn it into a pizza to make it a better product. It's basically already perfect. So, unfortunately, I will give you the lowdown of whether this works or not, whether my chili cheese hot dog, my chili dog pizza.
Chili dog pizza.
My chili dog pizza. If it really, really works or not, if it really holds up to what I have in my mind of the flavor of what I want of it, I'll let you know. But I'll let you make the chili and see about the pizza itself.
You know, that's probably doable. Maybe. I make a good chili.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm sure you do. I've tasted your cooking. It's amazing. Your chili is probably
chili.
Best off as just chili.
Did you know that you can take butternut squash and replace the beans with butternut squash?
In chili?
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you don't like
sense.
Beans, yeah, if you don't like beans, you can just use butternut squash, and it's really, really good. It's just as thick and hearty, but it's not beans, because I know some people who don't like beans, and some people who are like, I can't have beans because it upsets my tummy.
Ooh, you know, kabocha would probably be really good in the same way.
Yes and no. You got to be careful with kabocha, because it tends to dissolve if you overcook it.
No, that's what I mean. I feel like it would dissolve into the chili, thicken it up, and add, like, a really nice flavor, maybe a little bit of creaminess, a lot of extra fiber to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want it to be completely pureed into the chili, yep, you could do
no,
that.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
It would be, most likely.
I think it would be.
I still have some ground bison if you want it.
Oh my. We're having ideas suddenly.
Oh no, but oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. It'll be a good time.
I bought canned vegetarian chili because I really want the flavor of the hot dog to come through.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh my god, I just thought of the worst thing.
Oh no!
What if? And the problem with this is I would have to make a batch of hot dogs days ahead of time. What if I made the crust, the pizza dough, with hot dog water?
You know what you could do is you could take the hot dog and actually just roll it into the crust.
Yeah, make a hot dog rimmed crust.
Yeah.
That would be so fun because that's a Pizza Hut thing, right?
They have the
hot dog stuff crust where you can take them out of the crust and you can dip them in something.
Look, I grew up with hot dog buns, like from the Chinese bakery. They're just buns, but they have a hot dog inside them. It's just
a regular old
bun. You could just do that, but like in pizza form, and then there'd be chili on top of it.
No, those would also be really good. I had some of those while I was in Japan. Of course, Japan hot dogs are their own very special thing.
Yeah.
North American hot dogs and a good hotodogu. Very different ingredient.
But you could just roll hot dog into the crust.
I won't.
Aw.
Because I explicitly want the hot dog on top to look something like pepperoni.
Oh. You could do both.
I could do both.
Why not both?
I could do... Why not both?
Why not both?
Why not both? That's, you make a very compelling argument.
I'm very good at winning arguments this way.
Oh, yeah.
This is why Angelo shouldn't go shopping with me, because often I see Angelo looking at something and I'll be like, just get it. But I really only have the funds for this thing or this thing, and I definitely need this one more than the other one. Yeah, but you could just do both.
I was actually playing that role this weekend.
Oh, were you?
We as a group went to a warehouse sale for Silken Snow and Casper.
Mm-hmm.
Dio and I, a few of our friends, three of our friends, mm-hmm. as well as Nancy and Sean, we all met up at the event center for the Silken Snow warehouse sale. And we were going through things. There were a couple things that were on our list of things to get. Dio and I were actually looking at more sheets specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheets that they had there didn't seem that much better than what we already had.
Okay.
So I kind of talked Dio out of that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, we found this wonderful quilted blanket set, and I was like, oh my god. Oh my, it's so soft. Oh, it's so fluffy. Oh my
god. It's so breathable.
Our comforter at home is like stifling and hot and oh so bad. And this thing is $200 after the discount?
Yeah, did you see the full price on it though?
Oh yeah, no. We saved like $60 or $80 or something crazy like that. It's
a good quilt.
And then there was this other sheet that goes along with it and makes a really nice matching texture to go. And I was looking at this and I was like, oh my god, it's so soft. Oh dear, it is. This is quite the And then I looked at the price and I was like, $150 for a very nice sheet. Oh my god, oh my. And so,
but it's so nice.
It basically took no convincing Dio to get both of these. If anything, my only input was on the color.
Yep.
I pushed Dio towards the green comforter and the white mm-hmm. sheet, whereas Dio was looking at the whiter or cream-colored comforters and the green sheet before.
Mm-hmm.
But I like green.
I like green, too. I like that green. Specific shade of green that they had. It was like a very nice...
It was very mossy.
I like it. It's very planty feeling.
And what I didn't realize is, like, it's a dark moss on the outside and almost like a brighter moss on the inside. So, like, you roll back right up at your pillows and it has, like, a nice little accent color and it's just very nice.
Yeah. Very nice. No, that's good. It's funny that you say you're really just there to consult for color because Sean said the same thing. I was there for some linen sheets. Like, I was like, look, we need to try linen sheets that don't feel so unnecessarily unbreathable, especially when it starts getting into the 30 degree weather.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And like any energy consumption conscious person, I try not to have AC running unnecessarily. So what I usually do is I only turn it on during the hottest part of the day, and then I turn it off in the evening and at night. And the house is usually fine. But I mean, you still get kind of warm, especially when it's the really hot part of the year when it's not going to drop below 25 outside overnight.
Yeah, I'd hate that part of the year. Like, I really like the fresh air. I will forgive the road noise if I can have the window open at night, get some fresh air, get some breeze going on. I really do enjoy that. I like it a lot more than the whir of the air conditioner. But if it is warmer than, like, 18, 20 degrees out at night, that's miserable.
It's kind of miserable.
You wake up in just a soup of you and your own sweat. It's really bad.
Anyway, so linen sheets, something breathable, something cooling, something that's a little bit more skin friendly too. And linen gets softer the more you wash it, so I expect this to get even nicer over time.
Oh my.
And yeah, so linen was something I definitely wanted. I almost fell to the trap of their terry bathrobes. They have the softest, plushest, large looped terry. And it was so soft. It was in a color that was very, very me. And I still said, you know what? I don't think I need this. I have a plethora of sweaters at home. I don't think I would
have gotten those terry cloth bathrobes, except my mom got me a terry cloth bathrobe for Christmas. The silk and snow ones were a lot nicer, but I already had one and I was like, you know, I really don't need another. I don't need to spend that money, even if it is nicer. I don't need it.
I think I found the very last extra small bathrobe.
Nice.
And I still put it down and I was like, I don't need this. I'll be okay if I don't have this.
I actually tried to push Dio towards some of their towels.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were really nice towels. I have had a really, really, really nice bath towel that I have been using for the last at least 20 years.
Ooh.
Legitimately, back when I was in high school, my dad was pissed at me and my sister for taking his towel. Because his towel was the nicest towel, obviously. So he went out and he bought three of the nicest bath towels he could find. Each of you guys gets a color. You can choose which color it is. I will take the leftover color. Whatever. Whatever. But that is your towel. And neither of you touch any other color of the towel. If I hear anything about it, fingers will be broken. And more importantly, don't touch my fucking towel. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's been over 20 years and I still have my towel. It's still in great condition and I use it every day. I don't understand how this towel lasts this long.
You know, it turns out when you have good quality stuff, it lasts a really long time.
Yeah. No, it boggles the mind. It really does. But we didn't get any towels. We found a really nice weighted blanket.
Bet you weren't there for the weighted blanket, though.
No, we weren't. It kind of just happened.
Yep.
It kind of just happened. We kind of wanted to go and try the couch that they had there. And in trying out the couch, Dio and I just immediately was not enthused about it. Not for the price tag of it. And Dio actually took my feedback and fell out of love with the couch just immediately somehow.
Wow.
But on the couch, there was a weighted blanket. And we were just like, what a unique kind of knitting. It looks like a net.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a net.
Mm-hmm.
That one on the couch was the 8-pound one. And I didn't really think anything of it because holy shit, I'm strong. And an 8-pound blanket is just like, it seemed like a regular blanket. When
That's
we got
me.
To the actual heavier weighted blankets,
mm-hmm.
someone dropped the 15-pound weighted blanket in my arms, and I was like, what the hell is this? How does cloth weigh this much? I can do bicep curls with this blanket. What's going on? It was so interesting. It was so nice.
Yeah, you
nice.
Dropped them into my arms, and I was like, oh, that's heavy.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It was so cool. So we ended up buying a $200 fucking blanket.
Yep. I mean, those things are worth it.
They're really nice. They're really cool. Oh, and it was $100 off.
Yeah.
So.
Like, again, warehouse sale. And we went on the last day. So we ended up actually saving even more than the regular warehouse sale prices.
Yeah. Dio ended up spending $600 on different things.
Yep.
But if you were to buy them at normal price, it would have been anywhere from $900 to $1,000.
Probably even more.
Yeah, it was, unfortunately, a really good deal.
I like to think that I am saving hundreds of dollars by not putting it off and getting it later by second-guessing myself.
Valid. It is fair. Sometimes, when you need to spend a lot of money, the best solution to the problem is just spend the money when you need the thing and then never look at another price tag again.
Ever again.
Ever again. Dio keeps looking at house prices.
No, don't do that.
And I'm like, Dio, we bought ourselves a very, you bought me a very nice house to live in. You got me a luxury birdcage to keep your boy inside of. Stop trying to get buyer's remorse.
There's really no point in it because it's not like knowing and not knowing is going to change what you're about to do in the near future.
For real. It is. This is the reason why I haven't looked at graphics card prices since last
year.
Yeah,
I'm not either. I'm staying away from that. I don't need one, so I don't need to know about it. Even though I know that it's going through a crisis right now.
As an aside, Dio heard the term luxury birdcage from across the luxury birdcage and is like, someone clip that. Dio, it's going to be in the episode. This part is going to be in the episode. You can just listen to the podcast.
Correct.
Oh.
Luxury birdcage indeed. Sometimes that's how I feel about my place too.
Yeah.
And now I have luxury sheets to have in my luxury birdcage.
Oh my god. That's so good. That yes, actually.
Yes, actually.
Oh my.
We picked up some Turkish towels. They are a distinctly Japanese style type of towel. So,
I saw in those. Japan, what do you think about them?
So in Japan and in China, there is a preference for our towels to be highly absorbent, but not fluffy. Like, we do not want fluffy, bulky towels. There's a preference for thin cotton towels that absorb a lot of water and then dry very quickly because it's very humid there.
Oh.
And having a thick, bulky towel basically invites a lot of mold and bacteria to grow on your towel, like within a few days of you using it, really.
No, that makes sense. When you say it like that, it immediately makes sense, the form factor of those towels. Because
yes.
I saw them and I was like, these towels are so thin. They're not fluffy at all. Why would someone want these? And I put them down.
That's why. So these towels will be wonderful. They will be soft, but they will not be bulky. And they will very likely last longer between needing to be washed.
I am definitely on team fluffy towel. But yes. From your explanation, I can respect it. I can
you
understand.
You and Sean
I
both.
I can respect it.
You two like your fluffy towels.
Yeah.
You sweet white boys, you. You sweet.
Maybe it's a genetic predisposition to fluffy towels.
And possibly to milky things and sugar. Sean has very strong Danish heritage in him, and that predisposes him to really creamy things and having a sweet tooth.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know. Take from that as you will.
No, I can understand. That just sounds correct. That sounds objectively correct.
See, you agree.
I agree.
The two of you share a lot of really interesting preferences and tastes in things, and it's very interesting when you bring it up and I'm like, ah, yes, that sounds just like Sean.
Huh.
Hmm.
Tall, nerdy white guys tend to be more similar than we might have thought. We need to get some scientific study on the matter and
Indeed.
Report it back in next week's podcast.
See you then.
Bye-bye.